It's your girl Kathleen, aka Cassidine, aka Sudding, and we are back with another episode of Sudding Soapbox. Yes! Here on Sudding Soapbox is where we rant about all things love, life, and the pursuit of music. Get into it, get into it. Hello, everyone. We are back with another monthly episode of Sudding Soapbox. How y'all doing? If you are a new listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. We love new people over here, so please come on in, get comfortable, kick off your shoes, relax your feet. If you are a returning listener, how you doing? How your mama and them? How are you? All right, so like I said, we are back with another episode of Sudding Soapbox. Before we get into the episode, there are a few, I guess, housekeeping things I just need to go over. Number one, I'm in a different location in my apartment. I apologize in advance for any background noises such as cars or people yelling or people doing kai bai bo, which is rock, paper, scissors in Korean. Normally, I sit on the floor in my living room because in Korea, most people sit on the floor. So normally, I record my episodes sitting on the floor in the living room. But due to a certain reason, which we'll get into later in the episode, I don't have the energy to sit on the floor. So I am sitting at my desk, which I normally don't sit at because, again, it's facing the window and a lot of the background noise happens to come through, but I apologize in advance for any of the background noise. I will try to get rid of it as much as I can in editing, but just in case, just giving you a heads up. All right, so I also apologize if you hear any kids in the background. Again, I will edit as much as possible. Normally, I do these really late at night, so everyone's generally sleeping, but again, because of what's been going on, like the motorcycle in the background, I've had to switch locations. But anyways, let's just get that out the way. I also apologize if I sound nasally or stuffy. Again, I'm gonna explain why in a little bit. But again, this is just gonna be a it is what it is episode with background noises, with stuffiness, with everything. I'm coming to you very real and authentic and genuine. So again, I apologize in advance, but let's move on into the episode. Actually, first, before we jump into today's episode, if you haven't already, please, please, please follow your girl on all social media platforms. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. My handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's Shameless Listo. Okay, hit me up. Tell me how you're doing. How is your month of May, because by the time I drop this, this will be the month of June. Child, we done already been halfway through the year. What is going on? But anyways, I digress. Hit me up on all the socials. Chat with me. Talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind, on your heart, on your spirit. All right. So normally we kick off the episode starting with our title of Sudding's Life Update. So we're going to begin with that per usual. So yeah, like I said, the reason there's a lot of background noise, unfortunately, because I normally would sit on the floor. But your girl got COVID. Yeah. Your girl got COVID. She done finally got me. The Rona done got me. I was hitting the little Kim on her for the past three years. And she finally got me. I was playing dodgeball with the Rona. I was hitting the little Kim and she said, I got you. So I don't have the energy to sit on the floor. I sound nasally because I'm literally coming off of having COVID this week. Literally, I knew I was gonna get COVID. That's the thing. I just felt it in my spirit, deep down in my soul, that I was gonna get COVID. Cause these past couple of weeks, my kids have been like, to say it very Haitian, like kehek keheking in my face, basically coughing. Like in my vicinity. Some of them were wearing masks, some of them are not, because basically like now you really aren't required to wear a mask anymore unless you're on public transportation or going into a hospital or like one of those government type buildings. So most of the kids in my school are not wearing masks. Some of them are for whatever reasons, you know, personal reasons, and that's fine, but now it's not necessarily a mandate. Child, these kids were coughing, okay? And then my kids, I love them dearly. They come up to me, they ask me for candy, they want to hug on me, they want to hold my hand, they want to talk to me. I love all that. I love that they want to be close to me, they want to be near me. But social distancing needs to be implemented right now, okay? Because when I saw, like, and it wasn't just one class, it was like, I teach middle school and high school, for those who don't know, in South Korea. It wasn't just like one class would have it and another class would be cool. It was like, literally, I teach six classes. I have six grades that I teach. And in every single one of my classes, they were all like literally hacking up a lung. And I was like, oh no, what is happening? So then it started off one teacher in my office. There's about eight teachers in my office, and one teacher was out for COVID. Now, I didn't think nothing of it because the week prior, he said his mom had COVID. And so he stayed at the school dorm when she had COVID. And then the week after, he went back home. Well, I guess, you know, I can feel the Rona still in the air. That Rona was still lingering in the air, okay? And shout out to Phil Collins. But that Rona was still in the air, and he basically got it from his mom. And so he was out for a week. Cool, no problem. I had been around the teacher, but again, because of him saying like, oh, I didn't go home, cool, whatever. Then another teacher in our office got COVID. I don't know how he got it, because again, the day before he was cool, then the day after he was like, oh, I got COVID. And I'm like, and these are two teachers that I have pretty much close proximity to, not just in the office, but we would eat lunch together and all of that. So I was like, oh crap, like that's two teachers in a, like two out of eight. I was like, oh God. So I think it was like, yeah, it was Friday. Friday, I had a long day. I had five classes back to back. And normally I only have two to three classes back to back or like in a day, but this particular day I had five classes back to back. I was already not feeling well, but granted for me, this is also my sinus infection season. Your girl has terrible sinuses. So normally what happens, I get a really bad headache and then I become nasally. Sometimes I have an itchy throat or my ear just hurts because I have ear problems. So when I was like feeling tired, I didn't think nothing of it. Your girl stocked up on mad medicine before I came back to Korea from home. I had Sudafed, I got Mucinex, I got Robitussin, I got Dayquil, I got NyQuil. Like, I'm running a whole pharmacy in my house, okay? You need something, I got it. I got Pepto-Bismol, I got Benadryl. I'm your local pharmacist, you heard me? So I was like, okay. I think that morning when I wasn't feeling well, I was like, oh, let me just pop a Sudafed and go about my business. But I noticed like my headache never went away. But again, I attributed it to the fact that I had sinus infection or that I was just really tired. Because again, I had five classes back to back. That's not my normal schedule. So by the time I came home, this was like, again, Friday of last week, I was like, okay, let me just come home. I took a shower, took, I think, Mucinex this time. Cause I was like, okay, Sudafed wasn't hitting like it's supposed to. Let me take the Mucinex. Took the Mucinex and I knocked out. Y'all, 3 a.m., I hop about the bed, turn my swag on. No, sorry. I hopped about the bed and my neck hurt. Like, I mean, it felt like someone had dropped a 50-pound weight on my neck. And I was like, yo, what is this? Again, I'm still thinking it's my sinuses. And I'm like, okay. Sometimes like I'll feel aches and pains in my body, but I was like, dang, like it hurt to turn my neck. It hurt to like, and this wasn't like necessarily like, you know how you get a crook in your neck because you sleep wrong. This was like my entire neck was sore. Like I did like squats with the barbell type of pain. I'm like, okay. So I took a COVID test just to be sure. Friday, it came up negative. I'm like, okay, so it's not COVID. It's gotta be my sinuses. Saturday, I took another one because me, I'm not playing games. Took another one again. It came back negative. So I'm like, all right, let me just take my regular medicine. So I took some NyQuil to help me sleep, took some Dayquil to just help me through the day. Then Sunday rolls around. Sunday comes around and I'm like, okay, I gotta go to work the next day. I'm not feeling any better. Let me take a final one. And it came back with a little faint line. And I was like, do I have COVID? Nah. Do I have COVID? I was like, yo. I'm shocked. I have no words. She was too stunned to speak. I was like, I don't even know what to do right now. So I took a picture of the test, sent it to my co-teachers. I was like, I think I have COVID. They were like, okay, don't come in today. Go to the hospital and take a, like, basically a legit test. So Monday morning, I go in there and they confirm your girl had COVID. But I want to put a little caveat in there. This is part of the reason why I love Korea. So I went in there, had my little, they ran the test or whatever. The test, I believe, was like $8. Like in US dollars, I think it was like 7,000 won, something like that. They gave me this whole stack of medicines I had to take. I go to the pharmacy to get the medicine. He tells me like, okay, you gotta take this morning, noon, and night, blah, 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 blah. 3 days worth of medicine. And I think it was like five pills for each one. So I was taking roughly 15 pills every day. But this is five different pills. Do you know how much I paid for the medicine for COVID? Do you know how much I paid for the meds? I want you, even though I can't hear you, give me a guess of how much you think I paid for the medicine to get rid of the Rona. All right, I'm assuming you done gave me your answer. I paid 3,300 wands for the medicine, which is roughly less than $3. Less than $3. For five different pills for COVID. Where they do that at? Where do they do that at? Tell me. Don't worry. I'll wait. Nowhere. Because I know for daggone sure, I wouldn't have been able to get all that medicine in America for less than $3. Even with the best of the best insurance. So I literally paid in total for the whole day 10,000 wands, which is roughly like, I don't know, because inflation, I think it's probably like $8, maybe less than that, maybe between $7 and $8 for everything, for the doctor's visit. And the thing is, again, I need America to change something. I walked in there was a bunch of people because it's early morning, so a lot of the ajummas and ajushis go to the doctors around this time. There was a good amount of people who were in the hospital at the time that I went because it was morning time. So I go, and they gave you a slip of paper to say like why you're not feeling well. So everybody's going in, and then the moment they noticed I was in there for COVID, they were like, oh, okay, you can go over there, you don't have to wait in line. I was like, okay. So they expedited me through. I was like, oh, okay, I get, you know, VIP service for COVID. I took the test or whatever, and then I left. I'm just like, imagine if, again, I was back in America, I would have to call my primary physician, see if I could somehow get in the same day. And I don't even know the whole process for finding out, like, if you have COVID in the States, if I'm being honest, like, I don't know. Like, do you go to your primary doctor? Do you have to go to the hospital? If you go to the ER, child, you're spending your whole day in there just for a COVID test. So it's like, I would have been in there for at least 8 hours. I would have done a whole shift, work shift in the ER, then to go to the pharmacy. And a lot of the time, sometimes they say you can pick up the medicine same day. Sometimes they tell you got to go in the next day. Like, and again, I probably would have paid upwards of $50 for the medicine. So I'm just like, bruh. So yeah, that was my experience. I had to stay home for a whole week because obviously self-isolation, COVID, this, that, a third. So I've been home for most of the week. Some people were like checking on me, which is great. Like, I appreciate the people who checked in on me, who made sure I was okay. I had one of my students' moms. She dropped over some like orange juice and Gatorade for me because she called me. She's like, do you need anything? And I was like, just Gatorade and orange juice because I already stocked up on soup. And I came over here from America with chicken noodle soup because I can't seem to find it here in Korea. Or at least I should say where I am. I can't get my hands on chicken noodle soup. And so I brought that over. Also, she checked on me later in the week. So, you know, I had people checking on me. But for the most part, I've been home chilling, which was nice. I know some people don't like staying at home all day. Me, I just stayed home for 7 days. And I think the only thing I didn't like is not having the choice to leave because I live above a 7-Eleven. I'm like, oh, I could have just went downstairs, grabbed me something, and then came back. But other than that, like, I've been chilling. I'm okay now. Still a little nasally. But yeah, this week I just been binge watching Netflix, which we're gonna get into today. Binge watching Netflix, watching YouTube, playing video games, reading my books and stuff. I will say though, the hardest part And I think this is just the Caribbean in me. It could be in other cultures too, but me speaking from Caribbean space, I had a hard time just resting and not feeling like I needed to do something. I didn't need to do laundry. Like, I didn't need to clean up my house and tidy up. My sister had to be the one like, girl, you got COVID. Sit down somewhere. Like, sat down. And I was just like, you're right. But it's just this thing in me that feels like, okay, like, yeah, I'm resting. I'm in my bed. But I feel like, oh my God, like, I should wash the dishes. I should tidy up a bit. Oh my God, the trash is getting, you know, full, this, that, and the third. And I realized that's just like a childhood trauma, essentially, because like I wasn't allowed to necessarily be lazy at home. And so now as an adult at my big age, I feel like, oh, I can't just do nothing. I have to do something. So that was something that I had to literally like tell myself, girl, you're sick. Stay in this bed. Don't do nothing, because then you're gonna make it worse. And I'm like, oh, you're right. So yeah, that's basically, as far as my life update, what's been going on. That's probably the biggest thing. Other than that, this month has been pretty smooth. I still have a lot on my plate, but I'm trying to slowly release some things that aren't serving me anymore. But I think the biggest life update is that it's been 3 going on 4 years now. And I now got hit with the Rona. And I'm like, thank God I have my 2 shots in the booster, because like it was not horrible. I think the most horrible part of it was the cough. That was probably the most horrible thing that I had to deal with. Cause you know how people say, oh, you sound like you're coughing up a lung. I felt like I was coughing up my esophagus. And I was like, oh, this is bad. I was like, and then my ear, like my throat was itching, and then my ear, oh my God, it was just like the whole combination of a headache, my throat itching, me having a stuffy nose, and then that cough. I coughed so bad it sounded like I was whistling. I was like, nah, this was for the birds. This is for the birds. But yeah, I'm not gonna stay on this too long. I've already talked about this long enough. But yeah, that's basically the biggest life update that I have. Such a girl got COVID. Thank God I'm in the clear now. And so I just need to be a little bit more mindful and watchful. I'm not someone who just absolutely doesn't wear my mask anymore. Like if I'm in a public transportation, I do, but I've just been lax about wearing it in a classroom because I'm like, okay, like we're good. But now that it seems like a lot of my kids and a lot of the teachers are getting COVID, I was like, okay, let me, reevaluate that. But yeah, anyways. So that is my biggest life update. We are going to get into the nitty gritty of today's episode. But of course, before we do, we have our church announcements. All right, y'all already know, your girl is a small content creator. There's only one thing that I ask of you, my listeners, and that's to show how much you love my podcast. So what I need for you guys to do is to head over to Podchaser and find this podcast. Leave your girl 4 or 5 stars. 5 stars is preferred. And to write 1 to 2 lines on why you love my podcast. I would just really appreciate it if you would just rate my podcast 4 or 5 stars. And it has to be specifically Podchasers, because I know I have some listeners who listen on Google, who listen on Apple or Spotify. But the thing is that the recognition and the acknowledgement comes through Podchasers. That's where you get sponsorships. That's where you get any type of accolades. It comes through Podchasers. That's why I specifically indicate that's where you need to go. So here's what you guys need to do. Simple instructions. Simple. As a teacher, I'm gonna give you the steps 1, 2, 3. Step number 1, go to podchaser.com. That's podchaser.com. Step number 2, find your favorite podcast. That's this one, Sorin's Soapbox. That's SORIN'S SOAPBOX. Step number 3, when you find your favorite podcast, this one, you're going to leave me 4 or 5 stars. 5 stars is preferred. And then you're going to write 1 to 2 lines saying why you love this podcast. Okay, see? 3 easy steps. It'd be that set. Fini. Finito. Canasa. Finished. And that's it. And it does so much for someone like me, who's a small content creator, just trying to grow her platform. That's all I ask, and I thank you in advance for helping me, because then it allows me to continue to make content just for you. So again, I thank you in advance, and that is the end of our church announcements. So, as I've obviously talked about in my life update, your girl's been home, binge watching Netflix, watching random videos on YouTube, and so that's basically what we're going to talk about today. Everybody's been talking about this on the timeline, but girl, I didn't watch Queen Charlotte. Now, I want to preface this. I'm not a fan of Shonda Rhimes at all, because Shonda Rhimes be going off the railing. Like, she be doing too much for me, and I'm not here for it. Because it's like, at some point or another, her stories end up losing the plot. And I'm like, Shonda, why are we here? What is this, like, storyline thread that you're creating? Bro, what? Like, I heard someone say that Grey's Anatomy is the One Piece to like white women, and I lost it, okay? Because I've never watched Grey's Anatomy, but from what I hear, it's still going on, and the storylines and the plots and things like that just be all over the place. Or maybe Grey's Anatomy is more like those soap operas, you know, like back in the day, Days of Our Lives, Passion, The Bold and the Beautiful. Yeah, girl, I know all the soap operas. Like, I remember back when I was in, like, high school, me and my sister spent a whole summer watching nothing but soap operas. And them joints will get you sucked in for real, for real. Like, the ones that I just named, Passion, Bold and the Beautiful, and I think it's called Days of Our Lives, if I'm not mistaken. We were heavily invested. Every single day, my sister and I, because we knew the times they would come on, we would sit in front of the TV and watch all three of them. And the way, I was just like, no wonder our moms and our grandmothers were so heavily invested. I mean, not my grandmother, because they don't have soap operas in Haiti. And I don't know if my mom ever watched soap operas, but child, I just know I was heavily invested. But anyways, I say that to say, Shonda Rhimes be doing the most. And so I really don't be a fan of her work like that. Not discrediting her at all. She's a Black woman getting to her bag, and she does what she does best. It's just not for me. It's not my cup of tea, and that's okay. But I remember when the Bridgerton series came out, because again, you had Black people and royalty, and in this era, let me tell you, historical eras like the Bridgerton are my bag, okay? If you didn't know this, my favorite movie, hands down, is Pride and Prejudice. Mr. Darcy, Elizabeth Bennet, bruh, love, 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 love Pride and Prejudice. So movies like, or my other favorite movie is Count of Monte Cristo with a young Henry Cavill. Oh my God. It is just, I love films in that era, especially when it's not like your typical rom drum. Like, I live for these eras, okay? Like, I remember there was a TV show called The Tudors. I watched the, like, this gives me joy. So when I heard Bridgerton was coming out and there was gonna be like POCs in the palace and everything like that, I'm like, because obviously, realistically, we were never. I'm not saying Black people didn't have royalty, because we definitely have royalty. But this particular era, obviously, Black people didn't have the privileges that they're displaying in the show. So I was like, I was here for it. But I'm going to tell you right now, season one for me was very problematic for a couple of reasons. I felt like they did a lot of race baiting. They tried to make it seem like there was more POC people than there really was, especially like people who like worked in the palace or had status. I feel like it was a lot of race baiting. I love Queen Charlotte, you know, them introducing her, but it just felt like they were trying to make it sound like it was a very diverse world, and then it didn't come across as that. Then I feel like there was queer baiting, specifically with Eloise. Eloise gave the air that like maybe when she was like, oh, I'm not gonna get married, I don't wanna be in court, I don't wanna do this, that, and third. It gave very independent, but also possibly the idea that maybe she's not into men and that maybe she has a different preference. So I was like, okay, I'm here to entertain it. But then nothing came about it, and she wasn't even really heavily in the series. Obviously, the season one was more focused on Daphne, but still, like, I thought they were going to flesh out Eloise's story, especially because she was friends with the real Lady Whistledown. So I thought maybe we would get a little bit more of that, but that didn't happen. And then, trigger warning, I mean, I'm assuming most people have seen Bridgerton. If not, go ahead and click off, because there is going to be spoilers in this whole episode. I didn't like Daphne taking advantage of the Duke at all. That was very triggering to me. And, you know, people talk about the R word or sexual assault when it comes to, like, men imposing their power on women. And to see it done in reverse and it just be brushed off the way that it was, I didn't like that. And it made me very, very uncomfortable. I was like, okay, Shonda, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm not feeling that. So that just immediately turned me off from watching this, like, Bridgerton. That's just, again, me. I love the romance. I love the poetry. When the Duke confessed his love to Daphne, like, oh my God, poetry, poetic. Again, also the reason why I love these specific time eras is just because everything they say is so poetic. And I love that. Give me more of it, right? So season two came around. I didn't even watch it. I know everybody said it was fantastic. It was amazing. I was like, nah, I'm not into it. But then they came out with the Queen Charlotte series. And I, from season one, was curious about Queen Charlotte, especially because they made it sound like her lineage and the Black people that were in the royalty and had titles, it all depended on whether or not King George was still alive or if he died and this, that, and the third. Like, so it felt like there was like this thread of everybody who was a POC in royalty, they're basically, their whole position was based on whether or not their marriage still stayed intact and whether King George died or not. So when they decided to come out with a Queen Charlotte series, or I guess its own show, I was like, you know what, I don't care for Shonda Rhimes, but I'm gonna watch this because I was very much curious about Queen Charlotte. And then I later found out that obviously this was based on a real character. So I thought that was interesting, which I kind of figured because I remember growing up hearing King George, the Mad King, you know, going off. So I remember hearing that. Y'all, first of all, Shonda Rhimes, you gonna pay for your crimes. You gonna pay for your crimes. Because why are there color purple references in this show? Why are we seeing color purple references? Like, I could have went my whole life without that. So of course, Queen Charlotte, again, if you've never seen it, please kick off because I'm gonna give spoilers. Queen Charlotte comes in, you see her, and the first thing we see is her brother basically sign her off to get married to the King of England, you know, Prince George, or King George, I guess. So I want to say, first and foremost, my favorite character in the entire Queen Charlotte, and even like the first Bridgerton series, like the first season, Lady Danbury, that's my girl. Lady Danbury was my girl from the jump, okay? But why did we have to see her being, you know, humped on by Frederick Douglass? Why did we have to experience that? Why did we have to watch Frederick Douglass doing God knows what with Lady Danbury? The way I wanted to just hurl, because I was like, Shonda, really? Not you pulling the color purple into this. Like, because come on. But anyways, seeing the whole thing, and then of course Queen Charlotte gets to England and she's asking about King George and nobody trying to tell her nothing, and she's like, oh, this man must be a beast or a troll, I'm out of here. Like, do not pass go, do not collect $200, I'm going over the wall. As she's going over the wall, you see King George like, girl, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm getting out of here, because clearly King George must be Quasimodo, and so I gotta go. Y'all, let me tell you something. I don't prefer Wahite men at all. If you know me personally, if you've heard me talk about this on this podcast, I'm a POC equal opportunist. Give me an Asian man. Give me a Hispanic man, a Middle Eastern man, you know, whatever. But I just do not care for the Wahite men. I don't find them attractive. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, they just, I don't know if they wash their legs, if, you know, they cleaning their meat like that, like, or you using the pool as a substitute to bang in, to take a bath. I just don't know. And these, like, do you put raisins in your potato salad? Like, I just don't want to deal with a lot of these things. So I stay away from the Wahite man as much as possible. But baby, there's probably three men in this world, three Wahite men that I will make the exception for. Number one is Chris Jamal Evans, aka Captain America. Number two is Henry Cavill, because the black hair and the blue eyes is a lethal combination. And number three is King George. Let me tell you, I had to pause a couple times and be like, am I attracted to this Wahite man? Am I like feeling some type of way towards this man? That the point that I was like, okay, God, if you decide, because, you know, I be running my mouth and I'm not afraid to say that. If you decide you want to set me up with a Wahite man to shut me up, he got to look like King George. He got to look like King George, because my God, I had to look him up to see what he looked like with hair, because I love men with a little bit more hair. And good God, that man is fine. That man, oh, God took his time on him, because that man was fine. So to all of my friends and family members, if you want to hook me up, you know, play matchmaker with anybody, let me tell you, I wouldn't be mad if he looks like King George, okay? Like, again, like I said, Wahite men are not my preference. They just don't do it for me. But baby, those three that I just named, Chris Jamal Evans, Henry Cavill, and King George, which I think his real name is like Corey something, y'all. So I was already like, and then when I saw him, I was like, okay, it makes sense why she done gave him like 15 kids. Cause shoot, you can have whatever you like. I'd give that man 15 babies if he looked like that. I'd give that man 15 babies. Cause what? Girl. Cause I'm like, after they had the one, they could have stopped. She gave him an heir. The fact that this woman gave him 15, girl. Okay. But yeah, so you meet King George. He telling the girl, don't go over that wall. She's like, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm Quasimodo. And she's like, oh. And it was just like in that moment, you could see there was like a sparkle of glitter in her eyes. But y'all, I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit. Why? When they had Queen Charlotte in there and they were like, oh, she a little bit browner than we thought, they decided they want to round up the blacks. Huh? Queen Mother was like, oh, we don't have enough colored people. We don't have enough people that look like Queen Charlotte in the wedding party. We need to gather up as many. I was like, now what is going on here? They were like, we need to, I was like, not y'all scrambling for black people. Not y'all scrambling for the black people to come to this wedding. Uh-uh. Talk about some, she a lot browner than we thought. It's giving very much Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Like, oh, how dark is the baby? Child, the ghetto. What is happening? So yeah, that wasn't it for me. But I did like that when they invited Lady Danbury to the wedding, that Lady Danbury was like, if you need anything, girl, if you need some seasoning, because they don't season the food right, if you need some hot sauce, if you need whatever you need, girl, if you need a hot comb, if you need, you know, some shea moisture for your hair, because that was something else. I was really surprised they did her hair the way they did. I was like, oh, let me find out. Y'all know how to do curls, because I definitely love the fact that Queen Charlotte was out here wearing her natural hair. I said, okay, I'm here for this. I'm here. But yeah, she was like, if you need anything, if you need, you know, if you need somebody who look like you to do your hair, come holla at me. I love that. Black women looking out for black women. But also, my question is, when you find out, obviously, through the series that King George is mad, he's in love with Venus, the stars, whatever, whatever. I was just like, I was thinking just like Violet did. She was like, why did they search for someone who was in Germany to be his wife? You mean to tell me in all the lands, there was nobody that was a suitable partner for him? Nobody in all of Great Britain? That y'all had to go all the way to Germany and get a black girl to deal with this? It's giving strong black woman, and I don't like that. That's, again, that's my problem with Shonda, because it's giving strong black woman. Oh, she can handle it. She can deal with this. He a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but she can handle it. Why? Why gotta be a black woman that gotta deal with this? Why? Again, I love the story. I love the story. I love the romance. When King professed his love, talking about he loved her, you know, when he saw her going over the wall. Oh, it was given. Again, it's why I love these stories. The poetry when they profess their love. Oh my God. We don't have that today. Niggas will hit you with the what you doing all damn day. But you want to tell me that you can't breathe when I'm not around you? That I'm as beautiful as the galaxies in the sky, the stars and the moon, and oh my God. Somebody give me like that. Yeah, I'd give him 15 babies, all right? But niggas will, what you bring to the table? Ugh, please, don't plead. Bum tet me. Leave me alone. So, oh my God. But it just very much felt like they thought a black woman can handle what was going on. And they just left her in the dark, bruh. Left her in the dark. And I also didn't like the fact that this was called the Great Experiment. That, I feel a way about that. Why was it called the Great Experiment? Obviously, again, they bring in, it's an interracial marriage. But I would have liked a different title for it. Like, the Great Diversity, the Great Blend, the Great Unity, I don't know, just something else. The Great Experiment just really, it gave me racism to the deepest core. It's like, we letting the black people in here. If we don't like how y'all act, we kicking y'all out. And I'm like, I'm not feeling it. But again, I'm not Shonda. I don't have her bank account. I don't have her wallet. I don't have her bag. So who am I? But yeah, like, you're finding out the whole time through the series that King George is mad. They sending him through all these doctors. And that doctor? Nah, bruh. They should have hit him with the Alice in Wonderland's, you know, Queen of Hearts off with his head. Because what in the world? It's crazy. You got Queen Charlotte having a 5-star buffet. And you got King George eating marmalade? Eating cream of wheat? What is going on? Nah, talking about some, it's his privilege that's making him mad? Sir, tell me you hating without telling me you hating. It felt very vindictive. Like, this man wasn't really trying to heal him. He was trying to humble him. Child, be careful of people who try to humble you because they think that you shouldn't be in the place of position that you should be in. So they're trying to humble you. I really felt like that doctor wasn't trying to heal him, but trying to really break this man's spirit. And I feel like that, like, exacerbated this man being mad. Because, again, I'm not saying that King George didn't have whatever mental health issue, because that's what it was at the end of the day, was that he had mental health problems. But him putting him through that horror, I really feel like it, like, made it worse. I don't see how that joint helped him at all. I'm telling you right now, that doctor did not like the royal family and was really trying to do whatever he can to break him down. So, yeah, I didn't like that. Again, Lady Danbury was my favorite because the whole time she was putting her husband on. And I thought this was very interesting, compare and contrast. Like, for example, Lady Danbury wanted to, or rather her husband, Frederick Douglass, Lord Danbury, wanted to host like the first ball of the season and was like, oh, since you keep going to the palace, go ahead and, you know, suggest it. She's like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So she ends up suggesting it. And long story short, they end up throwing the first ball of the season. Queen Charlotte and King George show up. It's a great success. The language that happened on that same night between Lady Danbury and her husband and King George and Queen Charlotte is very, very telling. Lady Danbury was like, we did it. This was a success. We put the best ball on. And this man says, you're right. I did it. I'm a success. I did, like, I can't believe I'm such an amazing man. And then you flip over to King and Queen, King George and Queen Charlotte. And King George is like, oh my God, you were amazing tonight. You were brilliant. You were this. And she's like, no, we were brilliant. We were amazing. And he was like, you're right. There's nothing I can't do without you by my side. The dichotomy in the conversation was like blatant in your face. And I was like, yo. Because every time Lady Danbury went to the palace, she was looking out for her and her husband. She told him to give him the title, to go ahead and give him new land because he went to school with the king's father. This, that, and the third. She advocated for this man time and time again. And this man was selfish and was just like, oh, I did this. This is all on me, blah, 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 blah. But what I love is that Lady Danbury this entire time was playing a game of chess. She was not playing checkers because she was not intimidated by Queen Mother. She's like, you're not about to sit here and play with me, play with my family, play with my kids. Don't think I'm just a peasant. Her grandfather was the king of Sierra Leone. She's like, put some respect on my name. Because what you're not finna do is come at me crazy and think that I'm just gonna bow down, ma'am. I didn't come into money. I was born into money. And I was like, you better say that, Lady Danbury. I was like, girl, put her in her place. Because we don't play with me. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. I'm telling you, Lady Danbury was it for me the entire time. But also, can we talk about the fact that Lady Danbury and Violet Bridgerton are friends? Meanwhile, Lady Danbury had a whole Zozo appointment with her daddy. I was like, what is going on? I know I'm jumping around, but I really had to get into that. Because, you know, again, Lady Danbury and Frederick Douglass had a whole Color Purple. This man died in the middle of a Zozo appointment. And I'm like, what is this? I said, Shonda, you will pay for your crimes. You will pay for your crimes. Because what in the 12 years a slave is going on here? What in the 12 slaves is going on here? What in the Color Purple? What in the all my life I had to fight is going on here? This man died in the middle of a Zozo appointment? Shonda, you will pay for your crimes. You will pay, okay? And then Lady Danbury put on her show with her maid faking like, oh my God, the love of my life just died. Girl, I cannot. I literally cannot. But then you see like her and I think his name is Lord Ledger. I want to say that was Violet's dad is Lord Ledger. You see them like having this little spark and I was like, oh no. Oh no. I know I don't see what I think that I see. No. And child, they end up having a Zozo appointment to the point that like everywhere she goes, she looking for this man. I'm like, this is a married man. This is a father. I am beside myself. Like, I couldn't believe it. And this man done made her a birthday hat the same way he done made birthday hats for Violet and his wife. And she kept it all those years only for Violet to find it. Girl, Violet was like, no, I need to know who was you with after your husband died. And Lady Danbury, I'm telling you, that girl plays chess. She's not playing checkers. She was just like, oh, you know, I was with Queen Charlotte's brother. You know, I had a little affair with him. I'm telling you, Lady Danbury was like, I'm not here. She's like, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. And I'm not mad at her. It's just the fact that she really slept with Violet's daddy. And then the two of them just became close friends like that. Girl, I'm beside myself, really, truly. Like, I just couldn't believe it. But anyways, I really, like, again, despite the fact of me having my strong feelings towards Shonda, and I feel like she should pay for her crimes, I absolutely love Queen Charlotte. I loved it. I love the costumes. I love that she got to wear her hair and like the froze. Like everything about it was just gorgeous. Like I said, I do still feel like the reason why they set this marriage up is because they knew, oh, a black woman could handle and deal with the weight of his madness, essentially. Like I really hated that. But at the same time, like I said, it was a beautiful story. And the ending, oh my God, I thought it was just like the way he was just like our line. And he was just like, oh, you came to see me. He's like, how are you? Like, oh my God, I loved it. I absolutely love Queen Charlotte. That was really probably like, again, not a fan of Shonda, but Shonda did her thing on Queen Charlotte. I'm not even going to hold her. I'm not even going to, you know, say nothing. And then not only that, why was we getting a whole side love story with the two butlers? Like, what is going on? The two butlers is having a whole love story. But I'm not going to lie to you. At the end, seeing Brimsley, like, dancing by himself. Oh, my God. That was so heartbreaking. That was so heartbreaking. But yeah, I was just like, oh, we getting a whole another love story simultaneous between Reynolds and Brimsley? I mean, okay, I wasn't expecting this, but let's ride the wave because, again, Shonda gonna do what she do. But yeah, let me tell you, I definitely enjoy Queen Charlotte a lot. King George, again, that man is fine. I hope they put him in some other stuff because apparently, like, Queen Charlotte was like his first big role. I saw him in another show, actually. I saw him in The Sandman, but like he was like literally like an extra in The Sandman, or like he had like a couple of lines and then that was it. But like this was his first major Netflix role, and I'm like, oh, please, please, king me, please. Like I need more of King George. Like I need to see him in other stuff. I need to see him on the Netflix again. I need to see him on the big. I just need more of this man. Because this, and I'm embarrassed to say that, because again, Wahite men are not my type. But him, oh, he's delectable. Okay. I would say that. That man is delectable. And I understand why Queen Charlotte gave that man 15 kids. Because do you see this man? Do you see this man? But yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap up today's episode. I know it's basically me ranting about Queen Charlotte, but like I said, because of COVID, I've been at home. And just binge watching. I was going to talk about the Denea Jackson interview that I saw, but child, I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray for her. I pray that she gets healing. I pray that she's surrounded by a community of people who love her and support her and will walk her through this season of her life, because I saw the interview she did at the Dear Future Wifey podcast. And yeah, it was interesting. The only thing I will say is that I wish she would have apologized for cursing people to be vagabonds and widows and this, that, and the third. And she stood 10 toes down on that, saying that it's not our fault that we don't know the Bible. That wasn't it. We know the Bible. But you chose to lash out on people who were helping you and telling you this man was a dog and this man was this. But I'm not going to get into that. I'd rather just stick to the fact of Queen Charlotte, because that's what I'm here for. Again, with Denea Jackson, I just pray that she has a healthy and supportive community around her. That's all I'm going to say. But child, if y'all are my friends and you love me dearly, again, my preference is POC men. I'm a POC opportunist at all times. That's my preference. That's where I go, the senator. But if any of you find a King George lookalike that's between the ages of 30 and 40, he ain't got no kids. He got a good job. He got good credit. He make his own money. All the things. Is a man of faith, integrity, and financially stable. Please go ahead and send him my way. Send him my way. Especially if that man can cook. Because I really want a man who can cook. So if that man cooks, I mean, he don't even got to be a chef, but like, he just love cooking as a hobby. Go ahead and send him my way, sis. Go ahead and send him my way, my good brother, my brother in Christ, my sister in Christ. Go ahead and send that man my way, because baby, you can king me, please. King me, please. That's what I'm telling this episode. Go ahead and king me, because that man right there. And with that note, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode. Again, if you love today's episode, don't forget the church announcements. Please send me a review wherever you listen to this podcast, okay? It could be Podchaser, it could be on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you are listening, it does me a lot. It's a big favor that all I ask is that you write a review. Give this podcast 4 or 5 stars. 5 stars is preferred. But other than that, also make sure you check me out on social media. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's Shameless Listo. Come talk to me. Have you seen Queen Charlotte? What did you think about Queen Charlotte? What do you think about Bridgerton? I love your thoughts. I love your opinions. Let's have some conversation about it. Because child, like I said, I was all in. If they come out with a second season, which I don't think they are. Someone mentioned that they were coming out with a second season, but I'm not really sure where they would pick up on. Maybe they would pick up on her son, who I think it was Edward, who had a girl who actually ends up being Queen Elizabeth, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's how the lineage is that the couple, I think it was Edward and his new wife pregnant with a daughter, and they were like, she was like, oh, you know, sometimes a queen is better in royalty or on the throne, and the queen ends up being Queen Elizabeth the First, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe they'll do a season 2 following that. I don't know. But either way, tell me if you saw Queen Charlotte, what you thought about it, how you love it. Let's have some dialogue about it. I love you for listening. And until next time, your girl is off her soapbox. See ya.